Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to another edition of Life Behind Bars. I'm Noah Rothbaum, the Daily Beast Half Full Editor. Joining me, as always, is my colleague and co-host, David Wondrich. How are you, Dave?
I'm doing okay. Yourself? I'm a little hot. I'm a little thirsty, but you know.
I am in a similar condition, and fortunately, we are talking about drinks. Although, I have to confess, I'm not a huge fan of the drink that we're discussing today. I know it's a weird way to start the episode.
Yeah, but I'm not a huge fan of it, but I've made them on occasion. And, you know, it's it has its place. I haven't had one in a while, but.
And we're talking about, of course.
The one.
The legendary.
The only.
The potent. The Long Island iced tea.
All right. Thank God you said it. I didn't have to.
It was like the name that the cocktail that we shall not speak its name. Yeah. You know, but it's one of these drinks where invariably, if I'm talking to somebody and they find out what I do, I'm asked about it. Oh, like the Long Island iced tea. And it's like, as if I've had one today, right? As if I could be standing there talking to them.
As if you know, always order one, which.
Exactly.
You know, a lot of people
know me too
do.
Well. It's a very famous drink, a very infamous drink. The name is so famous, it's come to almost fit like a myriad of recipes, right? It's like, well, I always get this wrong, but I'm going to say it's from Buffalo. People in Buffalo will probably say it's from Rochester, but it's kind of like the garbage plate, right?
Yeah.
Of upstate New York, right? Which is a plate full of all types of food that you eat late at night. And I kind of think of the Long Island iced tea that way, is sort of like it's whatever the bartender or bar or restaurant has on hand and things should go into a Long Island iced tea.
Well, it is and it isn't, because there's I've always thought about it as like all the white liquors in the well,
right?
And you know, I'm not talking about a fancy modern craft cocktail bar. They've got Kirschwasser in the well. I mean, the normal stuff, like white tequila, gin, vodka, you know,
right.
It's those. Oh, and white rum, like a one count of each one of those. I mean, you're not going to use a jigger for this. This is, you know,
right.
It's something that's free poured. Maybe 1.5 count of the tequila sometimes I've seen. And then, you know, a splash of Coke and a little sweet and sour mix.
Right.
And you're done.
In a giant cup.
In a tall glass with ice.
Right.
So,
With a little bit of attitude.
Yeah. I did a thing in London a few years ago where they had me talking at the London Bar Show on the history of taste in cocktails. And okay. I was talking about how things kind of fluctuate back and forth. And I made a bunch of historical examples that were passed around. And everybody was shocked that I included the Long Island iced tea. But, you know, it's a strong cocktail. It's and it fits, you know, the pattern of like people liking strong drinks and then liking weak drinks and then liking strong drinks.
Are you saying that the Long Island iced tea is an example of good taste because you spent a good amount of your formative years on Long Island growing up there?
Well, I did actually. I went to high school on Long Island and I did actually drink at the Oak Beach Inn once or twice where the thing was invented. And it was, you know, it was very popular on Long Island. I'm trying to hedge my bets here because I don't think it's an amazing drink, but it's not a horrible drink either. It's not like you know, there's some that like a melon ball, I think is disgusting personally. I would not drink that. But a Long Island iced tea, you know, okay.
All joking aside, like, you and I have discussed this. I'm not sure if it was on an episode of Life Behind Bars, but maybe it was about you know, kind of like the whole class of drinks where Coke is a mixer,
yeah, right? Yeah.
Coca-Cola is used, and especially in Mexico, obviously, there's like a long tradition of using, you know, Coca-Cola and cocktails and the Batanga, you know, and the rum and Coke is clearly a megastar. It's probably the most popular cocktail in the world, or it certainly was for a very long time. So it's not, I mean, when you think about it in that terms, Long Island iced tea is not that crazy of a recipe.
Well, it is just like the fact that it combines so many different liquors, you know,
right.
People, and I forgot one before people call in and yell is the triple sec. Which is
the whole point of the thing, because
that's supposedly why it was invented, was to sell more triple sec.
Which is also a very funny vehicle to sell more triple sec.
I know.
That there are about seven other.
Yeah, exactly. And it's really just a small splash of this stuff. I mean, here's the thing, like Long Island iced teas aren't too sweet.
Right.
They don't have a lot of Coke in them.
Right. Or they shouldn't.
You know, there's some sour mix, which is sweetened, but there's not much. And there's only a, you know, a little bit of triple sec. So it's not like one of those really fruity diabetic onset drinks that that were very popular back in the 70s and 80s.
Made with ice cream and chocolate sauce.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know. It doesn't have like huge amounts of sugar in it. And it does have a lot of alcohol in it, but no more than a dry martini does. You know?
Right. And you believe that it, you know, obviously the name would make us believe that it was invented on Long Island,
yeah,
but it really was invented on Long
Island. I believe it was. It was, the story goes, and there's been a bunch of stuff to back this up. Not like, you know, an immediate appearance in a local newspaper telling the story, which is always the gold standard. But, you know, most drinks don't get that. But it was a bartending contest at the very popular Oak Beach Inn way out on the south shore of Long Island out near the Hamptons. And the Oak Beach Inn was a 1930s like beach inn. It was like, it looked like a kind of a quaint, fairly large beach cottage. It had been turned into a rock club and a dance club and a bar. And it was very popular. And they had a bunch of, you know, outdoor bars and indoor bars, and they rounded up all their bartenders one day. It probably was around 1972, 73. The guy from the Triple Sec Company, you know, maybe De Kuypers, I'm not sure, said, "Let's have a little contest to see who can make the best drink with this stuff." And one of the bartenders, Bob Butt, was his name, but his nickname was Rosebud, and he was popular. He was a Long Island local, and you know, a popular bartender and just a cool guy, and kind of took life easy and was, you know, a natural bartender. He just grabbed all the white stuff in the well and poured it into a glass just because, you know, screw this thing. I'm just going to play around. And then, you know, that included the triple sec, and then topped it off with, you know, a little lemon juice and Coke. And then it was like, hey, you know, this tastes like an iced tea and looks like it.
And this actually is pretty good.
Yeah, it's actually pretty good. And everybody else liked it, and they thought it was kind of funny. So they made a bunch of them. And next thing you know, it was like an insider's drink at the Oak Beach Inn. By the mid-70s, I think 1976 is the earliest reference to it I've found. Long Island Newsday, the local paper out there, was talking about it as the drink that was in all the dance clubs and discos on Long Island. It was like, it was the drink when you went out, and everybody was drinking it.
And the rest is history.
Yeah. I mean, by 1978, it had spread, of course, to Louisiana.
Right. I mean, it's a drink made for Louisiana.
Made for Louisiana. Exactly. There is nothing not Louisiana about that drink. And then to East Texas. And then it was like, you know, just starting to spread all around. Then the TGIF in Miami started serving it, and then it became famous.
We had talked about it a little earlier. We were remarking about how there's also an alternative theory that this is some kind of prohibition drink, which I think is kind of, you know, hilarious, because it gives it like this, like hipster credibility, like, oh, actually it's like a, you know, pre-prohibition drink or from a speakeasy, you know, at the height of prohibition, right. and it's like nah, like,
no, this, they had two kinds of liquor in speakeasies. They had whiskey and they had gin, you know?
There was no rack, there was no rail,
they didn't
there was
have no vodka.
Rail, no, it was, they like, there was six stuff. Bottles, right?
Yeah.
which I think is really, I mean, but it's kind of funny also to think about it now where, you know, you go into some craft cocktail bar and you pull out, you know, Pisco, you know, Aquavit, you know, all of the white spirits that are, you know, in a craft. I almost want to try it now. Like I want to, you know, by all, you know, Kirschwasser, like, you know, mix up all of these.
I mean, I do see people making a lot of fancy Long Island iced teas in like the kind of the younger wing of the mixology bars, the ones where, you know, still trying to play around and haven't settled down and just made dry martinis to keep everyone happy. Unfortunately, they're always like saying, well, you know, I'm going to replace the Seagram's gin, the well gin there with, you know, we're going to use, I don't know, Tanqueray 10, and we're going to use mezcal instead of the tequila. And, you know, and we're going to use a really fancy vodka, and we're going to use, like, you know, Grand Marnier instead of the triple sec. And it just goes on and on. And you get these drinks that don't taste like a Long Island iced tea, and they don't really taste like anything good. It's not a drink that needs fancying up.
Well, the whole point of the Long Island iced tea was kind of like, I don't mean this as a pejorative, but like an enjoyable level of blandness.
Yeah.
You're right. Exactly. I mean, they had a like you didn't want anything to pop out. Like you needed them all to kind of work together and be balanced by, you know, some Coca-Cola out of a gun that was probably a little flat or a little bit too carbonated.
Yep.
And like you needed it all just to balance out in a big plastic cup with a lot of ice where, you know, if half the ice melts, you know, it's fine. That's, you know, that's totally fine.
Dance with just, the girls in the peasant blouses and feather earrings that was everybody was wearing back then. Right. And just, you know, listen to the fine sounds of the cover band doing the best of Twisted Sister. And
right.
It was, or actually, you know, you'd be listening to Twisted Sister now that I think about it, that came out of that scene.
It's too funny.
I mean, you know, it's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. I mean, the tequila in it should be a mixto tequila. You don't want 100% agave tequila. You don't want it to taste like tequila.
You just want a hint. Like, that's the thing. You want to, like, just a hint of gin, like a hint of tequila, like a hint of rum. Like
and if you do it right, they all kind of blend and it really, you know, does taste more or less like iced tea, and it just goes down real smooth and it's got a lot of booze in it. So.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
It kind of reminds me of the story, or one of the stories about the drink, the Presbyterian, right? Uh-huh. Where, you know, which is the whiskey drink that's sort of like a Moscow Mule, right? It's made with whiskey and ginger beer or ginger ale.
Yeah, originally ginger ale and soda. Then it becomes
Like half and half club soda, ginger ale now. And one of the theories is that like it's called the Presbyterian because it looked like you were drinking just a regular ginger ale without any kind of whiskey in it, and presumably you could get away with that in a town where people were teetotalers, right? And it's kind of the same thing with the Long Island iced tea, where it really does kind of mimic the look of iced tea. It's funny for a drink, for one of its key characteristics and traits, that it doesn't look like a
drink.
I mean, which is a very bizarre thing.
You can't get away with that with a Blue Hawaii, that's for sure.
No. I mean, I guess the martini could look like a glass of water, but you know,
the glass is a dead giveaway. I have gotten away with drinking ice water in a martini glass with an olive in it.
To go the other way.
Yeah.
If, say, you and I, like, I don't know, which is not so out of the realm of possibilities, were forced to host an all day or a symposium on the Long Island iced tea, I would be very tempted to drink iced tea or Coca-Cola exactly. instead of a Long Island iced tea all day.
I would want to alternate them up at least. Let's put it that way. originally it was just really a one count of the ingredients, and that's like half an ounce. I mean, there wasn't that much. It ends right, up being like maybe 2.5 ounces of booze, something like that.
In some places, it's like it turns into like one of the Jeff Berry's like group punches.
Yeah.
Has enough booze to serve like 4 people.
I mean, already in Louisiana, I was looking in newspaper ads and you see things like saying it has, you know, Long Island iced tea. And this is in like 1978, 79, 3 full shots of booze.
Wow.
So that
could be like 6 ounces. God knows what they would consider a full shot.
It's a smaller shot, but still it's at least 3, 4 ounces of booze in there. So it's just funny.
It's interesting too, because I think it's one of those drinks that sort of, it really captures people's imaginations, but also captures a real sense of place and time. Mm-hmm. You know, where not every drink has that.
For me, it certainly does. I mean, I remember drinking them at Danceteria in New York. You know, mostly I was drinking Scotch highballs, but every once in a while we'd splurge. I remember, you know, all kinds of like New York clubs they were popular, and you know, they'd be on special and you'd get like 2-for-1 or something. So we'd say, sure. I don't think I ever really got hammered just on those, but a lot of people did. It was, the problem with the drink is one Long Island iced tea is fine, you know?
Yeah.
Two Long Island iced teas, okay, you better pump the brakes. But people were just drinking them one after another after another, and still do, I've seen. You know, that's when it gets to be a problem, because that's, you know, it's stronger than other tall drinks like that, except for zombies. And tall drinks just go down real easy.
Anytime you have a sentence where you're comparing something to a zombie, you know it's dangerous territory. Exactly. It's already like whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Like, well, it's not as strong as a zombie. Like,
no, I mean,
you never use that for reasonable drink.
Yeah,
totally.
It's basically the disco zombie. So
yeah. As the drink morphs and mutates over time, people also add a lot more Coca-Cola, you know, in some of these places. So, you know, that terrible combination of like, you know, a lot of sugar and alcohol, and then the next day you just feel terrible because it's all that sugar. You know, if you had, I don't know, like a liter of Coke, you know, if you had enough in some of these places, would be so much Coke, especially like depending upon the type of alcohol people were using and the ratio and stuff, the Coke, you know, hides a myriad of sins. So,
yeah, I mean, that's another drink I refuse to get drunk on, but I do enjoy, you know, a good Cuba Libre, like properly made.
Oh, it's delicious. Sure.
But you don't really want to go too deep into those.
It's one drink that like always almost seems a way to pop up with each generation, you know, and it's one of those drinks where a lot of its contemporaries, like the Fuzzy Navel and like the Harvey Wallbanger, occasionally people like try to like resuscitate them. Nobody wants to claim the Long Island iced tea, right?
Well, nobody has to, because it never went away. You know,
it's true, but it's amazing that it's not like there isn't like a driving force behind it. Like
not like
you know, there's no big liquor brand who like this is their like, you know, like what the trade would call like the equity drink that's driving their sales.
Well, I mean, the problem is it uses how many different liquors, you know. So yeah, only like Diageo and Pernod Ricard could do it, and they're not going
right, exactly. and it's not like,
or Bacardi, you know, could do it,
right? Like TGIF Fridays was, you know, had this very, you know, well established bartending school, and you know, there are a lot of drinks come out of TGIF, and it's amazing that it hangs on without any kind of innate like support network, you know. And
I mean, I've come to respect drinks like that, even if I don't particularly like them, you know. It's the drinks that are just like, they're always there. They're perennially popular. They might not be respected, and you know, there might be reasons to not respect them, but they're always around, you know. And it's like,
oh, for sure.
And that is one of the popular champions of the, you know, the last 50 years of drinks. I mean, Bob Butt, you know, reaching for the white liquor in the well, like really, he kind of did something there. He lit something on fire.
Oh, yeah.
And it's still going. So
it was like he broke some unwritten rule.
Yeah.
Like to mix all of those things together. But like kind of like the last scene in Ghostbusters to another.
He crossed the streams.
He crossed the streams. And like instead of, you know, destroying the planet Earth, like he turns out that like he was able to defeat the marshmallow, the state marshmallow man or whatever it's called. But yeah, like, you know, he knew innately that this was not cool, like what he was doing.
Yeah, you were not supposed to do that. They didn't teach you that in bartending school. You know, pick one of those, white rum and gin. Ooh, and tequila and vodka.
Ooh, but you could just, you know, it's like a, you know, a scene out of Cocktail where he's got, you know, the different bottles in each hand with the speed pours and they're all going into a tin, you know, and it's just. I can only imagine there's a devilish grin on his face, you know, as he's filling up.
I can only imagine glass, because it was funny. That's the thing. Right. It's a funny drink. You know, it's like, check this out. Right. All the liquors.
What do you like? Rum? You'll love this drink. Or do you like gin? You'll like this drink. Like, oh, you like vodka? I got a drink for you. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's suddenly like everybody, you know, everybody's included. Sure. We're all, you know, everybody have one. That's it. There's nothing else in there except for a few other things, you know. I can't even really remember the last time I had one, which makes me think that it's time to revisit it.
Yeah, you and me both. I might have to make one
tonight. And maybe I'll actually like it more than I used to. I don't know.
I think the last time I had one is when I was serving them in London. And, you know, that was a number of years ago.
But it's also kind of funny because you now see all of these drinks brands coming out with, like, the mixers coming out with gourmet versions of cola. So, like, you know, the Q drinks, the Fever Trees of the world,
right,
making these artisanal cola products with like cola nut and stuff. And
that's not what you want for this drink.
No, I mean, they all taste like, at the end of the day, it tastes like cola. I'm not a cola connoisseur, I have to say. The differences there are, but I think you're right. For this drink, you don't want any of the new Coca-Cola variants. You don't want the artisanal ones. You got to go like old school.
Yeah.
Like you got to go.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a simple enough drink. You got to think of the time when it was created and the circumstances. It was deep in the dark ages of mixology when, you know, all the traditional techniques were being forgotten and, old brands were dying off right and left of booze, and all the old ingredients were going away. And this one just found a way of kind of surfing on the conditions. You know, Bob Butt found a way of surfing on the conditions as he found them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And making a drink that people would actually order. And
once the bartender starts pouring, like, from how many different bottles, that's just funny. And that's just like, ooh, it's a party. Look at all that's going into my glass. Even though there's, you know, a dry martini at the time was usually a double, and that had more booze in it than one of these things ever did. You're usually getting 4 ounces of gin, you know.
This is like the equivalent also of like flambéing, you know, something table size.
Exactly. Right?
It's a show. Exactly. I mean, it's all about, he knew. I mean, it's hard to like not, you know, you could be deep in conversation, it'd be hard not to watch him, you know, pour 5-6 bottles at once, and hard not to like that everybody in the bar isn't like, what's that? I mean,
yeah, especially
only improvement
when it first came out, you know. I mean, I remember when in the 70s, I don't remember well, but I remember everybody was like, oh my God, what is this thing? This is crazy.
Well, it's like, it's like, you know, like you go into, you know, where they do tableside guacamole, right?
Yeah.
And everybody's like, oh, this is incredible. Tableside guacamole. You know, it's like the only improvement I could think of is if he had used a blender, which would have put this drink even for like a slushy. Long Island. It would only cause more commotion and been more of a
noise and
more of the time. Exactly. Mm-hmm. But maybe it's for the best that he didn't go there. I think it's time.
Yeah, I'm thirsty.
We both live not too far from Long Island.
I live on Long Island, actually.
That's true. That's true. The Brooklyn is the base of Long Island, yep. and I live on an island as well.
A neighboring island.
A neighbor island. So it's. I think it's time for us to have Long Island iced teas. I never thought those words would come out of my mouth.
I think it is. No, we've talked ourselves into it. How do you like that? Hopefully we've talked some of you into it also.
Cheers.
Cheers. We'll clink our glasses and woohoo. You know. think of the Oak Beach Inn.
Turn up the Twisted Sister.
Good time.
Dave and I encourage you to drink responsibly always.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.